I'm expecting Subal to pay a special attention to this morning's class because he always asks questions about this topic. It's an important topic. So it's good to ask questions about something so you get a clear understanding and then act accordingly. So the topic is liminal space. Those of you that have heard Satchinandan Swami speak at japa retreats, he uses it all the time. Liminal space. And I just explain what it means, the term liminal space. The image, pictures speak a thousand words. So there's a bunch of people over on this side, and they want to go from this side to that side, but there's this big gap between this side and that side. And who's going to be so foolish enough to go through a door that takes you through a big precipice and just a free fall? So there's the liminal space means several things. It's a transition between something and something else. And in the case of our topic of the Festival of the Holy Name, it's where we are, what we know the goal is, and the big gap that's between where we are and what the goal is. And then this uncomfortable space in between where we are and where we want to be. And one of your favorite questions too. So it's a transition between where we are and where we want to be. And there's a gap. And for us, the objective is to connect with Krishna. That's why we're walking through that door pictured here, to get to Krishna. And then the other side is Goloka, we're with Krishna. It's a consciousness liminal space. And just, there's commonly being in that space, it's uncomfortable. There's so many, you know, something that I've been doing of late, it's just by Krishna's arrangement, is young people making decisions about college and making decisions about career and, you know, going from a young adult to an adult. And it's uncomfortable. Vyudha vikalpa is a term that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses to explain, you know, the restlessness of the mind and should I or should I? Should I? You weigh the alternatives and you get spun out. It's in bhakti, it's one of the stages of unsteadiness in bhakti. Excessive uncertainty about what's next. It's uncomfortable to be in that space. But you're not going to get from where you are to where you want to go without passing through that space. So it's fantastic. Being uncomfortable is fantastic. Come on. The transition is fantastic. The transformation is fantastic. That's what spiritual life is. It's moving from this one side to the other side. And Krishna, from our earlier topics, pleasing Krishna is the essence. It's at the heart of that transition. And we're not used to it. Like mentioned already, one of our congregation members, ladies, said, I'm really struggling with cooking for Krishna. I thought, what do you mean? And she said, my whole adult life I've been cooking for my family. And now the injunction is cook for Krishna. And my mind is cooking for my family. And I know that's not what the injunction is. Now, of course, the cooking for Krishna result is then prasadam. And then the family takes the prasadam. But it's a consciousness shift. And it was, for this particular devotee, uncomfortable to be in that liminal space and wasn't happening. Or was at least struggling with being in that liminal space. So it's chanting, but it's our life of bhakti, because our life of bhakti is awakened through chanting. Some further exploring of what the term means. Out there is, outdoors. And then there's the foyer, and between the outdoors and the foyer, there is a piece of wood. In construction terms, it's called limen. Between there and there, there's a piece of wood. The space is a liminal space, and the piece of wood on the floor is called limen. Then there's the foyer, and here's the temple room, and there's another one. It's a limen between out there and in the temple room. In architecture, there's many images that show this between this and that. Some of you live in apartment buildings, that long hallway, that's a limen. In the terms of people that do construction, between the rooms and not the rooms. There's other application. It's just exploring what the liminal space means. It has different applications. Here's a cover picture of a book. And the title of the book is How to Surrender to the In-Between. And some of the statements by the author on liminal spaces, finding comfort in the not knowing. It's uncomfortable. But the transition is more than comfortable. The transition is what we want. It's not the goal. It's the means to reach the goal. Bhakti has the means, and then it has the mature stage of bhakti. Another one of her statements I like. I underlined the last part. Being in a threshold of life, threshold is between outside and inside, or the threshold of a doorway. Being in a threshold of life is really about trying to give over our trust to the power of time. Now, the image is not hers, it's just another artist doing what artists do in images they're expressing. The message, moving from this to that. And interestingly, at least it's for me it's interesting, our Vedic conception of time is time moves matter. And sometimes we try to control time. You can't. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. It's the movements of time. Or just anything. Existing in the world. Walking to go to breakfast. It's the time is needed to go to breakfast. To walk across the floor, go downstairs, and sit down and have breakfast. So there's surrender to time means surrender to Krishna. Turning over our trust to Krishna. That's the joy of life. And it's uncomfortable. Because we want to be at the steering wheel. Karta aham. We want to be the doer. We want to get things done. And that's how we're trained up. It's material consciousness. Here's a book. There's many such books. Honoring the space between no longer and not yet. It's liminal space. And in our Sanskrit terminology, there's language, but there's also liminal is used. But sandhi is the term. Those of you that are Hindi speaking, you know the meaning. And those of you who know a little bit about the Vedic conception of time is yes, yes, trisandhyam, we say every morning in our morning prayers. Trisandhi is the juncture between one thing and another thing. For astrology, there's the juncture between so many things. It's a common term. Brahma Muhurta, we're familiar with that phrase, most of us. It's the juncture between night and morning. It's as the sun is rising, before the sun boop, pops over the horizon, there's this Brahma Muhurta time, that it's not exactly night and it's not exactly morning. It's a sandhi. So for us, it's Brahma Muhurta. And then Gayatri is chanted those three times in the juncture between morning and afternoon, the juncture between afternoon and evening. It's auspicious. And when it has to do with consciousness, it can be uncomfortable. It's right in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is asked by Arjuna, what if I do what you're asking and I don't make it? I'm neither here nor there. I'm nowhere. I'm like a riven cloud. And Krishna's answer is, no, no, no. There's no loss or diminution. Whatever you do in this liminal space, in this transition between being in material consciousness and being in Krishna consciousness, it's never lost. It's because it's spiritual. It continues in your next life, etc. It's always with you. But, you know, the mind or the emotion within the mind says, I'm uncomfortable, or I'm a failure, or, you know, says, the mind says different things, depending upon the modes of nature. And the antidote is the faith, the embracing of the journey. I like this photograph. This is an award-winning photograph by a Japanese photographer capturing, this is the title, liminal air space time. So over here, there's a window and there's a lemon between the window that's to the outside and then the inside of the room. But it's not just, you know, the lemon. There's, you know, you look at it closely, you can see there's sheets sewn together and it has the wind blowing, and so the sheets, translucent sheets, are moving. Liminal air, space, time. It's just an artist's, a photographer's attempt to capture liminal air, space, and time. And these days, liminal space is used for cultural, social, or personal transformation. So that's like enough education on what the term means. Social activism, if you're not familiar with the term, it's really popular amongst millennials, college kids' age. They really like social activism, political activism, doing something to make a difference, contributing to make the ecology better, and gun violence more controlled, and save the whales, and, you know, whatever the cause is. It's real popular. There's nothing wrong with it, as long as Krishna is there. It's totally part of the illusory energy to think you're going to make a change without Krishna being at the foundation of that change. But liminal is a term that's used in these areas. So now, for us, our festival of the Holy Name, one of the things that we'd like to become free from is mechanical chanting. And we're very familiar with the territory. It doesn't require describing it so much. We're quite accustomed to it. And how to go to what's on the other side of mechanical chanting. I've shared this a number of times. From the course of my travels as a sannyasi, it's probably phrased in different ways one of the top five questions. How or when will I be able to go beyond mechanical chanting? So, it's not a secret, but it's that liminal space. And when chanting is done in a way that's attentive, etc., etc., then it brings transformation. The image is meant to show a caterpillar becoming transformed into a butterfly. So Prabhupada writes about this in a Bhagavad Gita purport. The caterpillar, I don't know how caterpillars have minds, but caterpillars see something, they're crawling on a twig or branch or something, and they see a fly or a bumblebee or something flying, a bird flying in the air, birds. So they wish, they contemplate, according to what it's explained, I'd like to be able to fly instead of crawl. And so by nature's arrangement, because of that thought, then something happens. And the something that happens is at least certain caterpillars have the capacity from their own body, from the saliva of their own body, they make a cocoon. And there's some gestation period inside the cocoon, and then they emerge from the cocoon, the butterfly. That's where butterflies come from caterpillars or crawling creatures. So we can also become transformed. That's the message in Prabhupada's purport, by this contemplation of being clear what the goal is, say just clear what the goal of bhakti is, and the means to reach the goal. That requires teachings and a qualified teacher and some preliminary, as we heard yesterday, some preliminary desire for self-realization. I want to become a butterfly. I want to become connected to Krishna again and understand who I am in my relationship with Krishna. I want to know. I want to be in that relationship. By that contemplation, that's the intention behind where the mind goes. And then the mind goes, and then the transformation may take some time. But the potency is there within the process for that transformation. We mentioned yesterday this verse from Bhagavad Gita. No, it's from Rupa Goswami, mentioned several times in Prabhupada's books. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukihi Jiva Dao. Svayameva Svarachita. It's speaking of liminal space. Where we are, where we want to go, and how to get there. So it begins with the name. So this is the festival of the holy name. And as a reminder, Jiva Goswami, commenting on this verse of Rupa Goswami, says that in this case, nama means name, form, quality, pastimes, etc. You know, Krishna in the spiritual world, because his name is not different than his form, is not different than his qualities, etc. So in this case, nama means all those things. So beginning with hearing about all of those things, this, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam and the pastimes of Krishna, the form of Krishna, etc. Namadi.
Here's the translation.
Prabhupada's purport, this is 6.8 Bhagavad Gita. It's one of many places. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord, are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him.
So that's the from where we are to where we want to go in the in-between space and being.
Embracing it. Put your arms around it and be happy to be on that journey. And the journey is the journey of Krishna consciousness. It's Prabhupada's term. It's not an institution. It's a consciousness. This is the International Society for that consciousness, that achieving that purpose of life. There's a scriptural reference. During last year's Festival of the Holy Name, one of the songs that we sang together was a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Gitavali. He has 8 songs about the name, and song number 6 is right on the topic for this morning. He writes this vacha and vachaka. There are these 2 terms, vacha and vachaka. The translation, O my Lord, you possess 2 transcendental forms properly called vacha, that which is nameable, that's the object, and vachaka, that which denotes, that's the name. The vacha is your beautiful personal bodily form, full of transcendental knowledge and bliss. So this is the image of Krishna looking at his reflection in the marble, polished marble floor in Dwarka and going, wow. Look at that form. So that's his vacha, his form. And then there's vachaka. The vachaka forms are your holy names, such as Sri Krishna and so on, thus appearing in the form of transcendental sound vibration. You are the resting place for the bliss of all souls. That's what the Mahamantra is. That's the vachaka. So it's being translated similar to how Srila Prabhupada translates Shikshastaka number 2. Nam nam akari bahuda. You have many names such as Krishna, Govinda, etc. That's Prabhupada's translation. So it's, you know, such names as Sri Krishna and so forth. It's the same. He, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Prabhupada is following Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's our disciplic succession method. So vacha and vachaka. And Bhaktivinoda begs for constant loving attachment for the vachaka or divine holy name of the Supreme Lord. And he gives his explanation why. Because you may offend the form, but if you chant and associate properly with the holy name, you can become freed from the offense of offending the form. Just don't make offense to the name. But so that's our standard. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discusses, we discussed, this is from our last festival of the holy, last year's festival of the holy name. He writes in a little essay, it is not possible, same as this Atakshi Krishna Navadi, it is not possible with our present apparatus, the mind, and material intelligence to understand the non-difference between the name and the form or the person. It is not possible, he writes, by a present apparatus. But it is possible. In our present lifetime it's possible. And his explanation how it is possible is by hearing. So when we're chanting, this is the liminal space. By chanting, because we're all chanting, then there's a really important thing, function, to do when chanting, and that is hearing the sound of your chanting. Now, when you're not paying attention to hearing, that's when the mind is distracted and goes all over the place. While the mouth is going, the mind is somewhere else. Attention is somewhere else. You're not hearing because the mind is somewhere else. So the practice, the discipline is practice hearing. And then Bhaktisiddhanta explains, then the mind becomes conquered by the ear. It's really cool. So the other senses there, they think we're equals and rivals to the mind. But when the ear hears spiritual sound, the mind becomes conquered. So would you like to get on the other side of distracted chanting? The method, Bhaktisiddhanta is explaining, is you hear spiritual sound. So spiritual sound is the name, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's sound vibration with oral reception. In his language in the Bhagavatam, it's rapt attention. Rapt attention, fixed attention, focused attention. It doesn't happen easily because we're conditioned souls. Even you get it for a while, it finds like a monkey. It's all over the place. Very restless. So practice and practice and practice. And eventually, through that faithful practice prolonged over time, the mind becomes able to hear. And when you hear, then the anarthas, the distraction, the causes of the distraction within become eliminated. And then comes taste. Then it's not the effort, the same effort is not required because there's actually a taste. But we have to, the liminal space is we have to make that effort. And don't be complacent. Well, I remember last year we had a nice japa session. It's based upon hearing. Hearing the sound, the ear and the sound. And then the tongue, this helps fix the mind. And so then we have this wonderful gift that Lord Chaitanya gave us. And of course, it's from the Vedas. But he expanded, because he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, laid emphasis to what was already there in the scripture, it has that special potency. Those who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu get special potency. Compared to others who may also chant it, it's the special potency factor isn't equally accessible to them. We're very fortunate. We're very fortunate. So we want to go beyond this mechanical into attentive and offenseless chanting. That's where we want to go. So that there's this medium of sound. I like this image. You can't see it so well, but on my computer you can see Maha Mantras in circles all around in Sanskrit. So the background is the mantra or the printing image of the mantra. But the image shows that the sound that connects through sound, the vacha and vachaka, are actually one entity. But we're connecting with the form, pastimes, qualities of Krishna through the name. Say it this way. Same thing. It's not that when you chant attentively, over here is the name, and then you start to visualize the form. The name and the form are not different. And then the qualities, and then the pastimes, just within that sound vibration. We're hardly there. We're very far from there. But that's the process. And the medium, the in-between, is that our founder, Acharya, we're all connected to him, whether disciples or shiksha disciples, we're connected to him through that gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he so generously distributed all over the world and is continuing, although physically absent, through his sound vibration, recorded sound vibration in recorded lectures and his books and so forth. It's not an event, it's a journey. It's an ongoing, you saw this image yesterday, chanting from the heart is an ongoing journey. It's not once upon a time. It's not an event. It's an ongoing, it's meant to be ongoing and eternally ongoing, deepening and deepening and deepening, and it's a fantastic journey. It's one well worth taking. And then when the curtain is drawn, there's the path to Krishna. In the background, that's Govardhan Hill. I like this painting. And Krishna will start to emerge simply from this activity of hearing. Now, emphasis upon the name, but name means the Bhagavatam. And here's another something really nice. Bhaktisiddhanta wrote, it's quoted in Bhaktivikash Maharaj's 2-volume biography. When chanting the name is Krishna, but Krishna is not alone. He's with his Swarup Shakti. And the Swarup Shakti of Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam, so they're meant to go together. That's what he writes. So when we're saying name, just I'm reminding all of us, myself also, a few times in the course of this morning, but name means those other. It means hearing the scripture. So we, Prabhupada very generously gave both the name and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you know, the essential devotional teachings. And through this medium, we get to discover our relationship, not only our relationship with Krishna, but our relationship with the name of Krishna, which is Krishna. And through the name of Krishna, everything, the whole of the spiritual world. Almost done. Those of you that attended the Gita Nagari retreat will remember this slide, just modified it a little bit. By cultivating our connection with Sri Krishna in his Vajika form, gradually and naturally we'll be invested with a potency which will touch and transform the hearts of others in amazing and unexpected ways. Our founder Acharya had great faith in the holy name. We heard it yesterday morning. Nothing but the holy name. And it created an atmosphere of auspiciousness. Just the sound vibration. Prabhupada said, even if they didn't hear, so there are lots of people that didn't hear, lots of people that did hear, lots of people that didn't hear, and even those that didn't hear, an atmosphere of auspiciousness was created by that sound. I was pretty amazed at our relationship with the neighbors here has gotten to the point where the windows are open during Guru Puja. Yes? It was never like that. I mean, you know, we have to lock up the windows because it's loud. But, you know, they hear the sound. They hear the conch, even at Mangal Arati. They think it's a trumpet. Little anecdotal. There was a hearing because there was a developer, you know, a guy that buys property, makes it a big thing, and makes a bunch of money when he sells it. So this building right next door, he wanted to buy it. And part of his buying it was to extend out in this backyard and then sell all the units, which would block our view. The windows would be, you know, with his property right next to our nose, because that's what developers do. So there was a hearing. And our neighbors were attending the hearing. Their issue was, where are all these people going to park? And he was saying, well, you know, what do you care? You know, they said, we like the Krishnas. We like the sound of the trumpet. Something like that. I wasn't there at the hearing, but that's what I heard. Now it's the windows are open and they can hear. How much benefit, you know, that lovely tree out there. How much benefit? Anyway, all the little bugs and skeeters and, you know, everything. Getting spirit. Who can estimate? But Prabhupada had great faith. He had great faith. We shared some of these stories. Great faith. In the name. And because he had great faith in the name, just his glance transformed the hearts. For decades of people that just received his glance and his smile. Because that deep faith that he had in the holy name. And it, you know, it came out in his words, in his actions, certainly in his chanting, in his speaking the Bhagavatam, the recorded, like Prabhupada would say, how many translations of Bhagavad Gita have been made in English, and where is one devotee? But from this Bhagavad Gita, thousands and thousands of devotees. It's not just information, it's spiritual potency based upon this. So we're not there. But the process to get there, if we want to be social activists or political activists or transforming agents of making the world a better place, get into this space. It's uncomfortable. Keep going. With faith, determination, shelter at the lotus feet of our spiritual master, and amazing, unexpected things start to happen. By cultivating our connection with Sri Krishna in his Vajika form, gradually and naturally we'll be invested with a potency which will touch and transform the hearts of others in amazing and unexpected ways. In our assembly yesterday morning, and some are still with us this morning. Book distributors know. There's just all this unexpected thing that happens when you distribute books. And one of the things that really helps to be effective in book distribution is taking proper shelter of the vachika form of Krishna and hearing carefully the message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. One becomes spiritually strengthened and an agent of transformation that has people that didn't get up in the morning thinking, gee, I really hope I meet a Hare Krishna guy today who'll try to sell me a book. And I'm going to say, yes, give me a bunch of them. That's not how people wake up in the morning, but when this spiritual function goes on, this one, then amazing things happen. And those who are Sankirtan devotees, book distribution devotees, realize it's not them. There's some magic going on, and they're just instruments of Krishna's magic somehow. And it's really lovely. Have conversations with them sometimes and ask them. It's a gift from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the disciplic succession to be agents of transformation. But there's a prerequisite. You can't just, you know, go out and do it. Karta aham. You have to go through that liminal space. And you know what? Last slide. By cultivating our connection with Sri Krishna in his vachika form, gradually and naturally, we will be invested with a potency which will touch and transform the hearts of others in amazing and unexpected ways. So we're doing this little Festival of the Holy Name event to help us assimilate, become absorbed in the Holy Name a little better than we were yesterday and the day before yesterday until tomorrow and then days after tomorrow. So we can become transformed, so we can become agents of transformation. And then our relationship with Krishna becomes awakened. That's what keeps us going. And the experience of that awakening of our relationship with Krishna keeps us going. Even if we're not like feeling it today, It's a deeper, it's not the mind, it's something deeper. It's this, the intention to please Krishna, heart of bhakti that's being nourished. And with that heart of bhakti gets nourished, the creeper of bhakti grows and grows and grows. Subal, your question yesterday, and I said we're going to speak about it tomorrow morning. I'm calling on you. Have any thoughts? You're good. You have? Okay, give him the microphone. I thought you would.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for these instructions. It's very helpful, especially thinking during the time of doing book distribution. And being so attempt to have very, very strong sadhana to be able to have that, be in that space and experience that magic. And it's easy when you do book distribution, but when you do other type of services that are more, you know, managerial or, you know, other type of services, then maybe that space, that urgency, I find that it's not as easy.
I got a solution. Go on the monthly Sankirtan festival.
Anyway, it's very, very, very nice. One thing that I was thinking when you were explaining that to embrace that liminal space and become happy and grateful to be in that
Yes.
It's the important part. Now, The power of lamentation that is also recommended to us by the Acharya, that we feel the sense of dependence on Krishna and lamenting that I'm safe, like yes, yesterday you were saying,
yes,
to feel love with Krishna, but I'm not able to lock in. So I'm still lamenting, but at the same time, I'm very happy to be in this.
That sadness is an impetus. That, you know, it's not, you don't dwell there, you know, like that's your home, is sadness. But it's an impetus. It's, you know, a boot in the seat of the pants. Don't linger in where you were. Go to where you want to go. And you know, unfortunately, I wasted so much time. It becomes then an impetus, not mode of ignorance. A spiritual impetus. It's an ecstasy. A spiritual impetus. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. The term liminal space, maybe it is an anthropological term that defines a path that define the rite of passage in between.
Yes.
That
yes.
There's an uncertainty and ignorance.
Yes.
That we don't know what is the outcome.
Yes. That's one of the applications of the term.
Exactly. And hearing you, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that there's certain stages in that.
Yes.
Depending on our advancement,
yes,
we're passing from one part to another one, depending, because we see people that come and go. There are all people that come, stay, and make progress.
Yeah.
Well,
you're not asking a question, you're just elaborating on the theme.
I'm trying to elucidate how to apply it in our daily.
Well, we have an opportunity every moment, because every moment is a transition from something to the next something. Time is moving us. How to apply it is recognize.
How to reflect it.
Well, that's, you know, it depends, you said it. It depends on your spiritual maturity. If you can resent it. You can feel fear, you can feel anxiety, you can feel all kinds of negative feelings. Because I want things to not change. But things change. So, you know, it's knowledge that things are changing, things will continue to change. And what the uncertainty of what's next is depending upon where your shelter is. And if my shelter is in the temporary, it's painful because the moment has been lost. And now it's the next moment and it keeps moving. The person who wrote that phrase of, you know, transforming the faith to the power of time is a psychologist or a therapist, excuse me. You know, dealing with people that they're traumatized by change. And then there's like real severe ones, the death of somebody or something. You know, then there's an emotional, they're stuck. So a therapist is one who can help them go from stuck to unstuck. But so your question is how to do that. It depends on the person. Well, for us, the core is shelter in Krishna. And Krishna is kind. Just like, you know, the child and the mother. The child reaches to the mother, and it's in the arms of the mother, there's safety, there's security. A loving mother. So we have a loving Krishna and we have a loving spiritual Sangha. That's, you know, that's the spiritual solution. And then sometimes with that spiritual solution, depending upon the person, some persons are more emotionally stuck. It's not like they're bad, or they're, you know, shame on you. It says that's their spiritual evolution. So then they may need some additional assistance. It depends on their severity and the circumstances, how to. But for us, that, you know, the operative principle, without the operative principle, it's blowing on a boil. There's an infection inside, that's why the boil. So you blow on the boil, and it feels like relief. But the infection is still there, and so it's going to, you know, the boil, it didn't go away. So the problem, the root of our problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. We want to restore remembrance of Krishna. That's at the root. And association with devotees, sadhu sangha, is your real friends. They remind you of Krishna. And if they know you, then they know how to best remind you of Krishna gently. So that's the how-to. And then there's other remedies, additional supportive remedies, depending upon the severity of forgetfulness of Krishna, etc., and the severity of being stuck. Depends. But the principle is universal. So you're a very caring person. Yeah, I'm sure you, people come to you because you're a caring person with this and that and the other tribulation, circumstance, And, you know, your question, I'm guessing, your question is relevant to those circumstances that come your way without asking for them. So how do you help the person? What's the transition method? Somehow faith in Krishna, somehow the bhakti principle that we discussed yesterday afternoon. And then depending upon the severity, other resources. You attended Ikshvaku's counseling seminar, yes? Yes. Yes? So he was here, and that's another resource. It's not separate from the bhakti principle. It's another resource. We can, if we learn that skill, to some degree, we can help people make that transition from unstuck, from stuck to unstuck, and move. Called counseling. And then it's more severe, and it's therapist. Anyway. But the core has to be there. Okay? I think he's coming again. 2019, it's a plan. I'm sure you'll be there.
I have one question from today's class and there are a couple of clarifying questions from yesterday.
A clarification question? From yesterday?
I have one from today.
You have two. One today, one from yesterday.
Three.
Three? Okay. Speak slowly and clearly, please.
So this understanding of liminal space, that this is the space where our growth and transformation happens. So it's a very much desired place in our ongoing journey. It's not something we are thinking of closing the gap or getting rid of the liminal space. But because it's an eternal journey.
But?
Because it's an eternal journey, this liminal space stays. It's not.
Well, it closes, or even more appropriately, it transforms. The space transforms. There's always something between, we're never like, okay. There's always, it's dynamic, it's never static. But it transforms. So it closes and then it transforms. Okay?
One of the things that I was relating with was the discomfort of staying with the unknown.
Yes.
At my state, because the focus is on the discomfort, or the
focus goes to the what?
To the discomfort.
Discomfort.
And then the striving is that I want to get rid of the discomfort, or I'm seeking comfort. Both both the ways makes the liminal space more kind of look bigger than what it is.
Yeah, that's the mind. It makes it look bigger than what it is.
And so for me to embrace the liminal space, I have to change the focus on the power of that trusting aspect.
The power of?
Trusting the power of time. Trusting
the power of transformation?
Power of time.
The power of time, okay. You gotta speak slowly, I'm like half deaf, so. Okay, I got it.
So what I'm trying to say is that that's the journey, or that's the change of focus required to embrace the human space properly.
And her words is the power of time, you can just insert the benevolence of Krishna. Or the Mahavadanyaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that's time. Time is that transforming agent, and the transforming agent for bhakti is Krishna's kindness, his benevolence, Mahaprabhu's unlimited mercy. Embrace it. Then the transformation, then it's nice. Okay. Yes?
So that is my very stay with that, because what I know is Krishna's kindness, and that's all I need to know. I don't need to know the details of how it unfolds.
That's correct. It's full of surprises, as everybody knows. We have our plan, and Krishna has his plan, and he always wins. We have to have a plan. We can't be planless. But we also have to be totally dependent upon Krishna, because it's very dynamic. And the plan needs to be reviewed and refined, and just accept Krishna's plan as much as we can understand Krishna's plan. That's the life of bhakti. It's in the words of our acharyas, it's a life of love. And according to our acharyas, love moves like a snake. Isn't that a nice, wow. So a snake, when it goes from point A to point B, goes like this. So when there's a relationship with Krishna, it's never A to B in a straight line. It's always, and we just, that's love. And I embrace it, because I'm happy to be in my relationship with Krishna. But be prepared, it's unpredictable. And that's lovely. It's part of love. That's the liminal space. The spiritual. I never know. I have a plan. I want to be with Krishna. And then something happens. And I'm feeling sad. And Krishna comes. I mean, it's like, it's wonderful. But pervading always is Krishna is very kind and Krishna is loving. And he knows what's best for me. Like a little child. You know, then they want X. And X doesn't happen, instead is Y. And you know, but you know, if the relationship of love is there between mother and child, then the child comes to accept that, you know, that mother knows best. Still there may be, but you know, the final is mother knows best. And Krishna knows best. Although it may not look like, you know, the way that I would have planned it. That's just fine. Okay, so now, a couple more points. You're done.
Thanks to our program, it's this class.
Okay, so you want to go on to the next? Go ahead.
So, from the first class, from the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning, right?
One of the things that I was feeling back and kind of connecting for myself, one of the points they put in terms of chanting and relationship, that this verification of who we are,
yes,
is like we are constitutionally Ashra. We are never Vishya.
We're never what?
Ashra and Vishya.
Ah.
So we are constitutionally Parapriti or Ashra in our relationship.
Yes, yes. Yes, we're the shelter of our love for Krishna.
So when we understand that through upper shelter, or with the, so that's the awakening that happens.
Yeah.
And that's the gift of the whole thing, that it brings us to that place of yes. awakening.
Yes.
Without that, it's that Purusha Bhava is very hard to dissolve or come out without the connection with the upper shelter.
I'm looking for Vrati, is he? Where is he? He's in the Pujari room. This is Rati's message from yesterday. The receiving. There's the Vishaya, and the Ashraya is receiving from the Vishaya, the object of love. We're used to being the doer. We're like, you know, it's the other way around. But it's in exchange, sometimes, because that's how Krishna is. He sometimes just gives himself. And the devotee is, you know, thinking, wow. Not like, wow, hey, I've got Krishna now. But, you know, wow, Krishna is very kind. And he gives his kindness in so many ways. Anyway, it's an alternating, vacillating back and forth. That's the science of rasa from nectar devotion. Now, go ahead.
I think that's better. Then there was another question from the, I think this is from the second class.
Second class.
Yeah. This is about the Anukulina Krishna and Chitta.
Say it slower.
Anukulina Krishna and Chitta.
Okay. Yeah.
Nested part.
Yes, yes.
So in the Shila, when we were talking about the inactive element, that means
yes.
the inactive element.
No, non-changing, not inactive.
Yeah, non-moving.
Non-moving.
Yeah. And then there's this Anupurina.
Yes.
And when I was, there's kind of an overlap between that inactive element and Anupurina. And how I would understand, I'm just going to clarify that in Vidyanagari, in say yes to Krishna, when you were addressing the acting from heart, you
yes.
were mentioning about the desire of the mind and separating it from the desire of the soul.
Yes.
So when that non-moving element of the Shilana, is that the desire of the mind, and then the Anupulina is more of the desire of the soul?
Not exactly, because there's the spiritual mind, and the spiritual mind, just like Queen Kunti, that my mind, she uses the word rati, but it's translated that my mind, rati means attraction, that my mind and attraction flow. So there's the spiritual mind. So it's not exactly said. When you're referring to something I said, the contemplations of the mind, that's the material one. Then there's the spiritual ones, like Queen Kunti's contemplation. That my mind, like the Ganges, just flows towards the sea. That my mind and my attraction flow to Ananya Vishaya, no other Vishaya than you. I'm the Ashraya, you're the Vishaya. That my mind and my attraction flow only to you. Doesn't mean like just you and me and everybody else can take a hike. But let everyone else be connected to that in my life. My husband, my children, my community, my surroundings, etc. Krishna is at the center. Okay? Then it's not, then you don't, you know, say yes to Krishna. It's just say yes to Krishna in all circumstances. And all circumstances are connected to Krishna's pleasure. Is that clear? You have more.
Just a clarification that non-moving Shilana and Anupulina. So what is the, it seems like similar.
It sounds similar, but there's, the non-moving is that Krishna should be pleased. And the moving is what your body does, or senses, what the mind does, what what the mood does. I was thinking about this just yesterday. When this topic of the deities, like chanting, there was a circumstance, specifically, there was a circumstance when Radha Govinda in New York removed to 7th Avenue and there was no kirtan. And I was up in New England. I didn't, you know, it wasn't part of what was going on. I was with Niranjan Maharaj up in New England. And I came to New York and I saw Radha Govinda and they were angry. Whoa, I couldn't look at them. I had to leave. And then when they moved to a place where there was kirtan, they looked very happy. And it wasn't, I mean, I don't think it was me. They were unhappy and then they were happy. So, Krishna's mood, what to speak of ours. And, you know, even in the conditioned state, in the spontaneous state, in the loving state, moods can go from this to that. Like Radharani's talk to the bumblebee, the mood was this and then it went to that. That's a moving. And that's the mood. And the mind was moving with the mood. But you know, the deep inside is Krishna should be pleased. Even when she was speaking, you know, get out of here. It's for the pleasure of Krishna. That's her capacity. So, I don't think I want to go further with this. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that the name and the form are non-different. And the name includes everything, including the quality of spiritual world.
Yes.
And also it is said that the name is more merciful than the form. So
yes.
How do we understand that when the name includes everything, how is the name more merciful?
No problem. I understand your question. If they're identical, how can this one be more merciful than that one? That's the question. It's a college question. Here's a college answer. Are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna the same or non-different? Are Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the same or different? I'll answer. They're the same. Not just an expansion of Krishna, but Krishna himself. But we say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was more merciful than even Krishna himself. But if they're the same, how can he be more merciful? Because Krishna didn't manifest that same degree of mercy. Instead, he said, surrender to me. Lord Chaitanya said, whatever, take the mercy. They're both equally merciful. They're both the same. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such mercy that even Krishna himself didn't exhibit, although they're the same. And the name manifests a kind of mercy that in this age of Kali, we require that fullness of mercy that's the same as the form, but so merciful within the name. Fullness of mercy. You can look at that verse again if you like and get your answer. Someone else had their hand up. No? Yes.
I saw the image of the liminal space.
Liminal space. You like it?
Yeah. Yeah, the slides are all just so beautiful. Whoever did it, like yesterday's slides, today's slides.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, I think it's very important to have like somebody who is on the other side of the liminal space who can give hope to the person who's on this side of the liminal space. I think it's really helps and it's very
more than helpful. It's essential. Scripturally, it's essential. Okay. Sundari Radha, it's your turn.